Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 93 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very, very well. I'm watching the screen to just check that my voice is the same height as yours on the screen.
I know.
Because people keep telling me that I'm sitting in another room.
We're both 12 inches. We should have a ruler stuck to it so we know exactly, like, stuck to our chin or something.
I think I should be 8 inches. You could be 12.
No, go ahead. Yeah, other way around, maybe. How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Well, we've been putting this one off for a while, this show, haven't we? Ha ha, we're talking about procrastination this week. We'll get around to it finally. Yeah, looking forward to that, are you?
No, I'm procrastinating.
Yeah, maybe we should just do it next week instead.
Okay, we will, yeah. Let's go and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, this is the Self-Help Podcast. I'm Edward Lamb, that was Sean Orford.
Hello.
We have a little website company even called...
It's a big website.
It is big, actually, liveinthepresent.co.uk. Cram full with podcasts and blogs and resources that you will love. And if you haven't checked us out, you should have a quick look. What have you been up to, Sean? Good week?
My week is amazingly busy at the moment. I keep waiting for this time when things are going to ease off a bit, because they usually do in the psychotherapy year at different times, but it's just been flat out. It's been absolutely bonkers.
Blimey.
And I could be doing sort of 24 hours a day.
Even though the sun's starting to come out, spring is just about getting here.
Hopefully things will start to ease from the kind of stress depression end of things as serotonin increases with the sunlight.
Okay. Yeah. So in the same way that like a squirrel will get a load of nuts in for the winter, you take all your invoices in the winter and then you chill out in the summer.
Hopefully, but it hasn't worked like that for the last few years. The other thing, because the weather's changing, is I'm getting my head round my spring detox.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody who fancies a 13-day detox flush your system, you can join me. It'll probably be the end of the month, beginning of next month, as the clocks change and stuff.
Have we done a detox episode way back when?
I think we did. I should know.
I think we did.
Yeah. It would be good to revisit that, because it is an important thing, I think, and it's a very controversial thing, because lots of nutritionists and people say load of nonsense, load of rubbish.
Yeah,
but I think that there are loads of advantages in detoxing that aren't just physical. They're to do with emotional and mental things as well, psychological stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's to do with taking control of your system rather than your system controlling you, so that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can get that. Yeah, that's been some press recently, about anti-detox movement and all that, but yeah, I mean, look, we know some good personal trainers. I've got some of my family even that are cool, and friends and family. The advice keeps changing. Like, the news in the last couple of weeks was that all of a sudden saturated fats are okay, butter is okay, get on the butter. So it's all of a sudden the personal trainers are all like frantically playing catch up and changing their science. They're not really scientists, are they?
But how much of what we hear one week it turns out to be the other way around, 2 years later?
Yeah, well, that coffee. I've just swigged me a nice bit of coffee there, and that's apparently three cups of coffee a day now is all right, and it clears out your arteries and stuff like that. Don't take my word for this, listeners, by the way. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I like coffee, though.
Yeah. But, that idea about, moderation, balance in all things, it's probably something around that. Human beings have survived because we're omnivores. We're like dogs and pigs and rats. We eat anything,
Well, is that... Yeah. We're digressing a bit here, but we can because it's our show.
We're procrastinating.
We're open up. But there's the whole paleo diet thing as well, which is like trying to get us back to our...
Stone Age caveman
diet.
Stuff.
But then I read a great argument last week. Saying that, why? Back then we were living for 30 years and we had completely different lifestyles, and now we're living for 100 years and we're living like kings.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, as much as we moan about our lifestyle and our diet and stuff like that, we do live a long time.
Yep.
We do. And parts of this country, death age of women is up to 96, and for men, 89, 90.
Yeah, it's very much dependent on where you live. Even in our little corner of the world, there's this thing called the M53 divide, yeah. which is the motorway. That
it's
runs
but it's true, isn't it?
You live on one side.
Yeah.
The life expectancy is like 10 years over. Yeah. I actually live on the wrong side. Only by like 100 yards, if that.
Well, but I only live on the right side by about half a mile, so that's, yeah. Maybe it's a bit dodgy.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, we've been putting this off for far too long. That's the last procrastination gag, I promise. because a listener has emailed in and asked us to talk about wasting time. But I'll start, before we define it, because I'm kind of guessing people know what procrastination is, that we are living for long, aren't we? Life is long. The whole life is short stuff. I mean, it's a perspective thing, I guess. But life is long, so, yeah, just put it off to tomorrow. What's the big deal? What do you reckon?
I think that there's a balance here that we need to look at, because lots of people I know that are kind of busy, and are always needing to do something, who are unable to sit down and just relax and chill, man.
I've got a meeting at 9:30, so
we're not procrastinating, so you're right.
We're just the exact opposite at the moment, aren't we?
Lots of people, I suspect, are avoiding facing their own emotional issues by doing things.
Yeah.
The doing becomes the avoidance.
Okay.
The idea of, if you're someone who has to keep doing to avoid facing who you are, and then you see other people who are not doing that, then they may get up your nose because they're sort of threatening your behaviour in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to get angry with the people that you see as doing nothing, you know, sat down with their feet up, just chilling. Because if you were doing that, you'd have to face issues inside yourself that you don't want to face.
Yep.
Yeah, and I see that quite a lot, which I don't think is very, very healthy.
For
me, the idea is in the magic of prioritisation. It's like, what actually needs to be done? If I'm too busy doing, I actually miss what we talk about, which is living in the present.
Yeah.
Because I'm missing the moment because I'm too busy working towards what I'm doing next.
Well, I might focus on this meeting at 9:30. It's quite a big meeting, actually. It could be quite a big deal.
Be here now. Relax.
Back to the microphone.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? And the thing about projecting forward like that all the time is it creates states of anxiety because I'm worrying about the future and the present.
Yeah.
Rather than living in the moment. And procrastination. And again, we're talking about a balance, aren't we? There are some people who are just bloody lazy. Yeah, and that's not good.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that if you can prioritise your life so that in your life there's enough time for you to sit down and to be who you are. I mean, to meditate for an hour. You're doing nothing actively. You may be doing loads emotionally, psychologically, mentally.
Sure.
Yeah. But from the outside, you could be seen as a procrastinator by someone who has to keep doing things.
Well, yeah, I think we have mentioned in the past, it's not so much a proverb, but there's a whole difference in attitudes in like the East and the West. So a guy at work with his suit and tie staring out the window of his office in London is considered to be a lazy bugger.
Yeah.
And the guy doing this exact same thing in Tokyo or in parts of Japan, contemplating deeply about the business and his work, and he's doing the right thing.
He's got a Zen attitude. I mean, it's certainly true that people that we see as couch potatoes who are procrastinating in the sense of they are delaying their life. They're not actually getting on with their life.
Yep.
And haven't got very good diets are likely to not live very long relative to people that are up and doing things.
Yep.
Yeah. If we go back to procrastination, what does it mean?
Yeah, yeah? You split the word in two nicely.
If you go to Latin, the pro bit means forward, going forward, what happens next, as it were. And crastination or crastinus means tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like for tomorrow. So to procrastinate means I'm not doing this now, I'm doing it tomorrow.
Yep.
Which is the origin of the word. And the nearest you get to it in our culture would be to use the word delay.
Yep.
Yeah.
The good old Wikipedia definition, if I may, grab my laptop.
Go on.
Procrastination is the practice of carrying out less urgent tasks in preference to more urgent ones, doing more pleasurable things in place of less pleasurable ones, and thus putting off impending tasks to a later time. sometimes to the last minute before a deadline. Now, I can relate to that because I did a Myers-Briggs test a few years ago, which I found quite interesting. And it basically told me what I already knew. I'm a last-minute freak.
Yeah.
I need that sense of a deadline and impending doom to get stuff done.
Yeah.
I could tell you loads of examples of work and at schoolwork. I was always, staying up late doing schoolwork. I remember I did all right at uni. I got 2-1 at uni, which is pretty good. Good enough. But I was all my projects were last minute projects, except for my final one, to be fair. And I remember one of them, I did a whole unit's worth of project the night before it was due in. This was worth quite a big chunk of the year's grade. And that was actually the only one that failed. I remember drinking Morrison's own version of Red Bull. I think it was called Red Rooster. And just feeling horrendous presenting it the next day, and the stuff wasn't working. So that backfired on me. But at the same time, it's just the way I work. Bit of a last minute freak.
I think that a lot of it is to do with how we get programmed in early stages in life. And it's like how laid back are our parents, that kind of thing. I've always been the kind of person who, certainly as I got through my 20s, is the kind of person, when I wake up, I'm like that, the pink rabbit on the battery advert. You know what I mean? I'm off.
Duracell bunny, okay.
Yeah, I'm off, I don't go through a period of waking. I'm awake. I'm asleep and I'm awake. And once I'm awake, I'm off and I'm doing. And that's usually early morning, half five, whatever, that kind of stuff. And I'm up and at it. And I'm usually seeing my first client patients in the hospital by 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm seeing somebody.
When you see people early on, do you tend to book in people early that are good in the mornings, or do you find people showing up just bleary eyed and not ready to talk and stuff?
Occasionally, but very often in that world at that time of day, there's people coming on and off shift.
Yeah.
So there could be someone who's actually been working all night.
Yep.
Who would be finishing around 8 o'clock? So they come off early and come see me.
Just decompressing a bit.
But they're still in their work mode.
Yeah.
And they will go home and have the equivalent of their evening meal and chill out a bit and then go for their sleep.
Sure.
So that their world's working the other way around. Or it could be people coming the other way. They're going on shift.
Mm-hmm.
They may be a bit blurry-eyed, but most of the nurses particularly are used to getting up. They're into that kind of work pattern.
Yeah.
So for me, by the time the rest of the world is waking up and coming in about 9:30, I'm moving towards my psychological lunchtime kind of thing, which is kind of crazy. But for me, the issue is this, is that, yes, there's things that we need to do.
Yeah.
I suspect that there is a massive amount of stuff that we think we need to do that actually we don't need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we invent the need to do it.
Of course.
Yeah. And part of that has to be, in our society, about material possessions and how much we have to work to get those material possessions. So we get into this thing about I must have, and do we actually need it?
Yep.
Yeah. So one of the things, this may be relevant, is you stuck on this list when we were talking about it, the Apple Watch.
Yes.
And the Apple Watch is about to appear. And my question is, do I need one?
Well, you've got a nice looking watch. It's springing away on your.
I have a nice watch.
Is that a new watch?
No, I've had that for years.
Do you always wear it?
I have two.
Maybe I'm just looking for watches now, all of a sudden, Apple are programming.
Yeah, no, this is my sexy watch, this, because you can see the inside working.
Oh, nice.
That's good, yeah.
Sexy. Is that a $17,000 watch, like the top end Apple
I don't
watch?
Know. It was a present from my darling wife.
Oh, wow. Well, very good.
It is. Teddy Baker watch, though.
Ted Baker, that's probably, yeah.
Yeah, nice. So,
yes,
Apple Watch.
Uh-huh.
We're procrastinating. Do we need an Apple Watch? And what would an Apple Watch do for us? You've been checking it out. What do you think?
Blimey, sweeping statements. No, I don't. I'm struggling to see it taking off in the same way that the iPhone did and the iPad did. I'm sure it'll sell in reasonable amounts, and I wouldn't be that surprised if it's a phenomenon, because you never know with Apple, but. Mm. I'm not chomping at the bit to go and get one. Even the start about $300, don't they? I don't know what the UK prices are going to be. Up to 17,000, crazily. I'm not sure. The thing with the watch is, it's a timeless piece of stuff, isn't it? I know these smartwatches that are coming out do lots more things, but the thing I worry about is you're gonna get in this cycle then of having to get a new watch every 2-3 years when the processor starts to slow down, when the software gets upgraded, and it's so the idea of paying $10,000 for one, even if it's a ram full of gold, what you're gonna do in 2 years? You're gonna melt it down and buy a new one. Crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And is it that having something on your wrist that is demanding of you that you should be doing things or attending to things?
Yeah.
And we're talking about this idea of needing to do rather than procrastinate. Does the watch take you away from actually being?
Maybe. I mean, they've released a whole set of apps that have been developed for it, and obviously more will come out. So some of them, actually, interestingly, probably will help with procrastination. And it's got health apps built into it, so it tells you steps and all that stuff, which is quite cool, but phones can do that anyway. But it does things like you can set it to buzz every 45 minutes or an hour if you're working, just to remind you to get up and get a bit of exercise or stretch your legs.
Can you set your phone to do that?
You can.
Yeah.
I mean, it monitors your heartbeat, heart rate and all that. I think there are health things in the upcoming versions that will be amazing, when it can start to really take your blood sugar level and all that stuff and really analyse your bodily functions.
I guess that we're going to get to that point where we have those kinds of devices around us.
Yeah.
The thing that concerns me, because the more I've looked at this as we kind of researched it and played with it, is I'm seeing procrastination as quite a healthy place to be, as long as you're not there all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about when Rhea and I were away for a week recently, we actually stopped and actually did nothing. But we were one of the keys to that. We were in a place where there was virtually no telephone signal at all, so people couldn't get to us.
This kind of idea, I like this idea of forced exile almost. So that but on the reverse, there's an article I linked to, I think the BBC. It's called the much delayed war on procrastination. It's quite a cool article actually, but it talks about tips and technology tips down the centuries that people have used to avoid procrastination. And there's this French writer whose name, Victor Hugo. French writer Victor Hugo apparently used to take off all his clothes and have them hidden by his valet so that he couldn't leave the house, so until he'd finished whatever he was writing or working on. That's pretty extreme.
That wouldn't work for me. I'd just go out naked. Sod it.
Who cares, man? And these days, it links to apps and stuff you can get on your phone that will help remind you and give you deadlines. And there's a Time article that I'll link to as well with some tips to avoid procrastination, which says, schedule things in your diary, maybe meeting friends at 8 o'clock, so you've got to finish your work by 7:30. Maybe you just do it when you've finished seeing your friends. I don't know, but maybe
if we look at procrastination as we see it, as being able to have a space where you can do and be what you want to be, maybe it would be healthy to have maybe an evening or a day, a week, where you do actually turn everything off when you aren't available.
Yeah, I think Tim Ferriss does have his phone-free Saturdays or screen-free Saturdays, I think he calls it, so he doesn't allow himself any screens on Saturday of any kind.
Yeah, and actually be where you are. How many times do you see people sat around staring into their phone and they're walking down the road and they're doing phone stuff as opposed to being where they are?
Yeah, yeah. But on the flip side, I've seen someone talk about recently about maybe, people have a go at technology, don't they, about how it's taken us away. Maybe the point is that technology is better than real life and we should be there all the time anyway.
So we're all going to be walking down the road with a pair of visual goggles on.
Virtual reality.
Living somewhere else.
So. I'm pretty excited about virtual reality. I think that is going to be...
Isn't that just... Haven't Samsung just brought out...
Game-changing stuff.
A headset.
Oculus Rift and all that.
Yeah.
If they can crack that, which they will, Royal We, that'll be amazing.
So I'm going to go to restaurants now, and rather people sat down there with their iPhones checking each other out, they're going to be sat there with goggles on.
Well, you wouldn't need to go to the restaurant, would you? You just...
have a virtual restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. So there are interesting implications for it all. But I'm a bit of a gamer at heart, and I don't get time to play them anymore. Virtual reality gaming will be amazing. I'm old enough, amazingly, to remember virtual reality in the 90s. You know, those used to see them in arcades and...
Yeah,
there's big headsets. You need to stand in that ringed And you look around, and I had to go once on a holiday, and it was really rubbish, but I remember thinking, this is amazing. But now...
technology moves, isn't it?
It's getting like, there, finally.
Feels like you're actually there.
Yeah. And some of the demos that I've read that people have done of these new Oculus Rift games and experiences, they've, like, it's just been, like, mind-altering, life-changing stuff.
Yeah. I guess one of the things I'd like to say, just before we end this, is that one of the things I'm very aware of, and it's highlighted by, there's a program on Channel 4 at the moment, which is where they've got drugs on trial.
Oh, yeah.
And they did a thing on ecstasy, and they've just done a thing on hash and skunk.
You haven't seen any of them, but I think I did mention it last week, actually, about Jon Snow.
Jon Snow, yeah.
He took some marijuana or whatever and then locked himself in a...
Yeah, and it was in a scanner, and he freaked out a bit.
Yeah, I can see why.
But if you look at it, I mean, I was thinking about it, because I went and watched the programme after we talked about it.
More than I did.
The thing that comes across is that when you take things like hash, particularly, which is the much milder form than skunk, it does have a demotivating effect in the sense that it may increase people's awareness of sound or colour. So people like artists tended to use it, that kind of thing. But on the other end, it demotivates and it does create a feeling of procrastination, as in can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do see people clinically who either... are getting into problems because they've got the demotivation from using hash, or they've got into the psychosis of using skunk.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that someone was telling me about in the drug world last couple of weeks is there's something called shatter, which is...
Shatter or chatter?
Shatter.
Shatter, OK.
Which is a fun version, sounds real fun, of the active component in marijuana is HTC.
Uh-huh.
In regular hash, it's like 3 to 5%. In skunk, it goes up to 20-ish percent. Shatter's like 85%. But it's being designed so chemically, so you can put it in the vape.
Right.
Those vape smoke things.
OK. Yeah.
So people, but the thing is, if I get 3 to 5 people a year who've got psychotic disorders from skunk.
Sure.
At 20%, if we shift up to 85% and it's available for people vaping, I think that has a huge hit on society from a psychotic point of view, but also from a procrastination point of view.
Well, that's right. Well, I mean, all the stats on marijuana show that. It's far less dangerous a drug than alcohol orders of magnitude. But I guess the danger is if everyone was smoking it. And I've got a bit of personal experience here from my university days.
Mm.
Yeah, no one's going to get anything done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think all the stats show where it is legal in countries where you can get it, prescription or whatever. Given the chance, people... the vast majority of people don't do it anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So people are going to smoke it now anyway, because you can access it. And I don't know where I could get it from right now, but I'm sure put a few calls into various friends of friends in Facebook and I could probably find some.
Yeah.
If you want to find it, it's there.
Around here, dead easy. I mean, I'd recommend that to anyone that's listening. If you can get to it. It's the Channel 4, it's all the programmes about drugs. They did the ones on ecstasy, and they've been doing the one on the hash and skunk. The thing that's interesting is they've got a massive brain, this model of a brain, that they crack open, and they show you what's going on inside the brain. And I keep talking on this programme about the hypothalamus and the amygdala and the effects that the different bits of the brain are having. But you can actually see it, because they get it to light up, and they show you the effects.
Well, I guess the drugs, opposite almost of marijuana is... I haven't got any personal experience with ecstasy, hand on heart. It just never really appealed to me. I had a lot of pals at uni that were quite into it. One, actually, who was one of the kind of... He would go out on Friday and have, like, 7-8 pills.
Ooh.
And, he'd be all right the next day. Good. I kind of advised him against that, but that's just the lifestyle he was in. But it's the opposite kind of effect of ecstasy, isn't it? It's a real upper.
Yeah, but it has this. I mean, they call it like a love drug, don't they? So it has that component of that kind of sense of emotional well-being. It makes you quite vulnerable, I guess, but emotional well-being with other people around you.
I guess with any drug, really, it's there's a certain amount of avoidance going on. You're taking it to avoid a reality. Maybe you're trying to enhance your life in some way in certain drugs.
One of the problems with that as a concept, and I think that you're right, is that if you look at any of us and the lives that we lead, when we start to get discontent with it, we have the need to change something. So we have a need to have a new car, new bathroom, new kitchen, conservatory, whatever it is. There's that need to change, because we're not happy with what we've got. But if you're addicted to reading books, what you're doing is you're diving into an alternative reality to your own.
Yeah,
watching movies, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong, because we're taking like a holiday from the everyday reality. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the balance, isn't it? Between at what point do we disconnect from the now?
Yeah.
And procrastinators, unless they are spending their life with their head stuck in something else, are actually living in the moment, probably more than the people that are busy.
True, and I guess if they are, if they could have been busy, or if we could have been busy doing work, inverted commas, then, but we're not, then it's a sign that maybe we're not in the right line of work, or our lives aren't quite in the place. I mean, it's easy to say, I don't jump out of bed like you do and I'm awake, but if you're procrastinating and wasting time all the time, then it's a sign, pretty clear indication that you're not, your life's not in quite the right place, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's time to get out there and start searching.
The deal is that you should wake up with a smile on your face feeling happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're not, there's something wrong.
Because look, the sun's shining.
Woo!
The bin lorry.
Spring's coming.
The bin lorry's going to be here soon.
Yeah.
What's not to love?
Yeah. I love the bin man, yeah.
Have you got a resource of the week, Sean?
I've got the website, which is about procrastination.
The website.
The website.
There's only one now.
It is the website. and it's procrastinus.com. And it's got a big thing on there about
Oh, he's gone. You've lost him, folks.
I lost it. Procrastinus apps.
Uh-huh.
So anti-apps. And they said prostitute, was that said? Anyway.
There's different apps for that.
There are. Yes, that's a different app, yeah. But you can also do a survey on there. There's a whole load of information on there, which is quite useful, because it does the science as well. But you can do a survey to see how much you procrastinate. Are you a procrastinator?
Okay.
Which is quite good.
The Procrastinators with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, yeah.
That'd be a good little spin-off movie. I've got a website as well, mindtools.com. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's about overcoming procrastination, managing your time and getting stuff done. So I guess before you would see that, go to that place, you need to make sure that your life's in the right place to make sure that you're doing the right things. You don't want to just be doing stuff for the sake of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe, we've talked about in the past about making decisions, just do something and keep moving rather than sitting around waiting forever for this stuff to come along.
Yeah, if you prioritise right, then you don't procrastinate. And that means, for me, you don't delay the things that need to be done, but you don't worry about the things that don't need to be done. And that comes down, in my world, to diaries and lists and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And I use my diary actively.
And don't be too hard on yourself if you are wasting time, because we all do it. And
but maybe we need to not call it wasting time.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe if you're, it's okay to chill, man. It's okay to live in the present. It's okay to be where you are and not worry about where you should be or where you were or whatever. Just to be where you are.
Yeah, there's fables, aren't there, about the businessman that's on holiday in Mexico and he sees a young poor boy, sitting by a tree all day, or does a bit of fishing and sells a few fish and enough for him to feed him, and he's like trying to build his business around that. He's advising the boy. Telling this really badly, but basically ends up getting back to the place where, and if you did that, you'd be free to
if you had so much
tree,
money,
then
you could do anything you want to do. What would you do?
I'd
come and sit by the tree.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you might as well just stay by the tree in the first place.
Exactly. That's the you've given away the putting. This spoiled it now. All right. Next week we're talking about midlife crises, aren't we?
Yeah. And apparently you're having one.
First, we should define midlife. We'll do that next week.
Yeah.
You're way past it.
It depends. It depends on if you're going to live to 200, then 100 is midlife.
And remind me to mention that, actually, because I'm hatching a plan to live forever now. So.
Are you?
Yeah.
So you're never going to get to midlife.
No, exactly. That's an interesting concept. Wow. Anyway.
Okay.
That's next week. In the meantime, liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links to stuff we've mentioned. There's also some cool resources on there. You can get our books, put your email address in the box at the top or on the side or on the bottom. It's all over the show to get free podcast alerts, so you'll be the first to hear about this show each week. How about that? And get free
stunning
meditation files too. Not too shabby. Right, Sean, have a good week.
I will. You take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Ooh.